Welcome. This is Dr. John Paul, along with Minister Linda. We want to welcome you back to another Bible study in and of God's Word here on 93.3 FM Real Talk Radio in Tallahassee, Florida. Our program this week, we will begin a study into the principle and standards of God's Word, which teaches us to live by what the Bible teaches each person to follow daily. It is time that we all take the bull by the horns and abide by God's Word. To accomplish the task ahead, it requires each person to be wholehearted in repentance, submission, commission, and coming into covenant, which requires one to commit vows unto the Lord. Now, before we begin, we would like to recognize some additional listeners to our program. We'd like to recognize Brother David Jonathan, Brother Jeff, Brother Raymond and Mrs. Carlton, and Brother Arthur, and all the other listeners that may have not been mentioned today. We say thank you and God bless. Now, I'd like for you to bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne today and say thank you and ask you to continue to bless us with your word. We ask you to send your spirit to be among us, to teach us, guide us, direct us in this word today, that you may implant upon our hearts and minds what you would like for us to hear and remember and to carry forward in our daily lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our study will require several studies to cover the basic life principles and standards of God's Word revealed in His Holy Word, that is, the Bible. Once you've heard these life principles, each person will be responsible to incorporate them into their daily lives. This requires everyone seeking, searching, and applying the Word of God in one's life. As it says in Matthew chapter 7, Matthew 6, verses 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. By taking each one of these life principles and standards into one's life and utilizing them through his commandments, we will be more responsible in our daily actions and deeds. And by the way, that is our first life principle, responsibility. The second is success. Third, authority. Our fourth is freedom. Our fifth is suffering. Our sixth is ownership. And the final one, seven, is design. There are many others, but these are the basic life principles and standards under which we must guide our lives. And we will probably take each one of them on a daily study over the next seven Sundays. The first one, again, I'll repeat them carefully: responsibility, success, authority, freedom, suffering, ownership, and design. To do this, one must ask this question in Matthew 7:7. You must ask, and it shall be given you. You must seek, and ye shall find, and you must knock, and it shall be opened unto you. As I've mentioned many times before, one of my favorites is Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and shew thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. You've got to learn to call, be responsible to call unto the Lord God, and ask him to help you in the time of need, and as well as in your daily life. One must implant, engraft, actuate, and applicate the word, the truth, into one's life. You'll find that in John 15:5, which says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Without coming into covenant with Christ, you can do nothing. It all comes down to choices, for a choice is for acceptance or rejection. The only thing you have control over, remember, the only thing you have control over in this life are your choices. Remember what Romans 10:9 says? that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, that's believe in your heart, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth you must confess that you're saved. That's right, you must confess it. And that confession carries through in a daily life, showing others that you are saved. What you say, you will get. What you confess, you will possess. In other words, use your mouth as an instrument of life, not of death. In order to show your belief, you have to declare your faith, which is confession. One of the greatest scriptures that has ever been written was by Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. We must remember, for it's by grace that you're saved through faith, that faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then in Joshua 24:15, it says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now, our study will require you and us and all of us to get into the Word daily. And that's to seek, search, study, and apply it daily into our lives with diligence. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, we cannot walk in Christ unless we demonstrate that in our daily lives. And to demonstrate that, we have to do that with not only our actions, but with our deeds, with what we say, what we do, and how we treat others. Remember, one of the most important parts of living a life for Christ is forgiveness. Forgiving ourselves first, and then being willing to forgive others that are around us. Remember, Christ went to the cross to forgive us of our many sins. He was nailed to the cross for that purpose, and he shed his precious blood so that we might be saved from our sins. So if he went through all of this for each one of us to forgive us of our sins, ought we not forgive others? You know, walking in Christ is very important. And I'd like for you to listen now to a very important message in music. And please listen to the words that Brother Bobby Key sings, "I Can't Even Walk."
I thought, number one, would surely be me. I thought I could be what I want.
We have to certainly remember that we've got to walk hand in hand with Lord God our Savior. Isn't that a great song? Bobby Key does such a beautiful job of telling us how we must walk, no matter how deep the valley or how wide the cavern may be, or how much problems we face in life, especially during this time of this pandemic. We must learn to trust and have faith in God. And you know, my wife and I pray every morning for the Lord God to shield us and protect us from this dreaded disease. Now, let's begin our study of this first most important basic life principle and standard that we must live by. It is called responsibility. The definition of responsibility goes like this: He desire and the power you need to apply all the principles will come by the humility you experience in gaining a good conscience. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Notice that last statement. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to those who are humble. In good conscience, as we mentioned in the last part of that first sentence, good conscience, God holds us personally responsible for each of your words, thoughts, actions, deeds, and attitudes and motives. Therefore, whenever we sin, there must be a confession and a proper restitution, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In this definition of responsibility, I'd like to for you to very carefully remember what I'm about to say here. The biblical word duty describes the concept of responsibility. It's translated from the Greek word aphileo. It means to owe, or the goodwill due to another. The word aphileo is translated in different ways in the New Testament. These include ought, due, need, owe, and bound. We then, that are strong, ought, aphileo, to bear the infirmities of the weak. In Romans 15:1, it says, let the husband render unto the wife due of filial benevolence, as it says in 1 Corinthians 7:3. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely towards his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age, and need so require, let him do that he will. He sinneth not, let him marry. We owe a filial no man anything but to love one another. What is that says in the second great command? The first commandment is what? To love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul. And then it says, second, love our neighbors as ourselves. Well, here it says here, owe no man anything but love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. That says in Romans 13:8, we are bound now, a filial, to give thanks away to God, for you, brethren, are under God's commandments. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Now, under 2 Thessalonians 2:13, it says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. During my morning devotional and studies, I always like to look at what Rosemarie Jones puts out under Voice Publishing. And I'd like for you to listen to this one that was for January the 15th. It says in Galatians 5:16, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So what is this talking about, walking in the Spirit? She goes on to say, "Do we know the difference between our flesh and spirit? Undoubtedly, our mate could best describe the flesh in flagrant detail, the one who most often receives the lashing of its ignorant and unthoughtful foolishness. A husband calls it being emotional or cranky. A wife describes her husband's flesh as grouchy or controlling. The Word commands us not to fulfill the lust of the flesh, but to what? Walk in the Spirit. Our spirit is the born-again saint who houses the Holy Spirit. Wonderful Holy Spirit is the one who lives, breathes, and exercises His supernatural presence and energy within us. Our spirit is the voice that speaks truth. It demonstrates the character of Christ in all situations. The Spirit experiences Jesus' yoke as easy and light. It daily honors the commandment of self-sacrificial love in family relationships. The flesh is either a frenzied racehorse of selfish ambition or a lazy, unmotivated slug. Our spirit leaps from the bed early in the morning to bow before the Lord in reverence and holiness. But our flesh hits the snooze button too many times and then furiously races to arrive at work 1 minute late. This battle is life's story. We work our salvation with fear and trembling, found in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, seeking to be yielded to the Holy Spirit and in command of the flesh. It's a lifelong process and is what makes existence on earth precious and unlike heaven. What we can do to remain in the Spirit of God? The answer lies in the disciplines of maintaining our faith. Not forsaking the gathering of the saints. 2, requires daily prayer. And 3, meditating in God's Word. Get that last one now. It says meditating in God's Word. That means sitting down and reading the Word and thinking about it and letting the Spirit speak to you. The spirit man requires spiritual bread. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. The flesh hurts others. It has the nature of a toddler. It is a good after a spanking, but it soon forgets the lesson. The flesh is slothful and selfish, not inclined to be noble. Our born-again spirit is energetic and giving, yearning to demonstrate the character of Christ. That's right, our born-again. Now, notice that. If you're born again, what does that mean? That you have confessed your sins at the cross and accepted Christ as your Savior. That you believe that He came to earth from heaven. He died, lived here on earth. He died on the cross for our sins. He was dead, buried, but He arose again the third day, and He lives forever at the right hand of God. The flesh is slothful and selfish, not inclined to be noble. Our born-again spirit is energetic and giving, yearning to demonstrate the character of Christ. The flesh talks too much and says the wrong thing. Flesh words hurt. Notice after I said the flesh words hurt, the spirit words comfort. As a husband or as a wife, father or mother, friend or neighbor, we owe one another our best. This begins with walking in the Spirit. Now, as we end our first segment in teaching, I'd like to remind you that after the short break, we will have Minister Linda to come and continue the teaching in our subject of responsibility today. Now, as I close out, I'd like for you to listen carefully to Carol Robertson as he sings this very, very special message and music called "Hidden by the Cross."
The devil used to find me every single day. No matter how I tried to stay out of his way, our little game of hide and seek would still be going on. But I found the perfect hiding place, and I'm making it my home. I'm hidden by the cross, hidden by the cross, behind those holy timbers where Jesus paid the cost. I'm under his protection and grace that can't be bought.
Grace that can't be bought.
And the devil cannot find me while I'm hidden by the cross. I know the devil wants me to come back out and play, so he can feed my weakness and lead my soul astray. I'm where he can't reach me now, there's nothing he can do. And if he still wants to play, he'll have to find somebody new. I'm hidden by the cross, hidden by the cross, behind those holy timbers where Jesus paid the cost. I'm under his protection and grace that can't be bought.
Grace that can't be bought.
And the devil cannot find me while I'm hidden by the cross. I'm under his protection and grace that can't be bought.
Grace that can't be bought.
And the devil cannot find me while I'm hidden by the cross.
Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, after the break for Minister Linda to come and continue our study in Responsibility.